All right. Good morning, church. How are we doing? Are we good? You guys got a lot of energy today? Yes? Okay, because I'm about to bring it, but I will say I am a little tired because we just got back from summer camp a couple of weeks ago, so bear with me, okay? Hey, how many of you had a great 4th of July? Nice. You guys had a good day? I'm glad. How many of you lit fireworks? Hey, cops, come in. Get them. Those are illegal. Those are illegal. You're the reason why my dog keeps freaking out, all right? It's your fault. Now, hey, I hope you guys had a great weekend and a great 4th of July, and I'm just excited for today. Man, if you're new, welcome. We are so glad that you're joining Encounter. Man, like our people who are doing announcements said, man, we're just so glad you were here. Like, we just want to celebrate you joining Encounter. I've been a part of this church since I was 8 years old, and I have seen the ups and downs of this church, and I just have to say, man, God is moving within Encounter, amen? Like, God is doing something big here. He is changing lives, and the best is yet to come. So if you are new, and you are trying to find a place and a family, this might be the place for you. So I want you to consider that today as you hang out with us on this Sunday. Man, my name is Austin. I'm the youth pastor here, and I have the privilege of having really just the best job in the world. I get to hang out with high school and middle school students. Some of you are saying, that sounds like the worst job in the world. It is the best. It really is. I get to help disciple them, lead them to Jesus, and to partner with youth workers and volunteers who say, I want to be in the teenagers' lives. And so we just had an amazing time at Camp Pondo about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, where we had about 60 students go to camp, and we've had 8 youth workers alongside me as we got to partner with Camp Pondo and Big Bear in what they get to have, what we call a transforming weekend. Like, man, it is fun. I'll tell you that. I had 6th and 7th grade boys in my cabin. Like, I mean, it's fun, but it's crazy. I'll just tell you that. But man, God was moving. Man, God made some big changes within our students. And just to highlight a few of those, man, we had around 15 students who rededicated their life to Jesus. And we had 2 students for the very first time accept Christ. Woo! Come on, church. Man, it was an amazing time. And they made big decisions in their life to follow Jesus. And so I just want to say thank you. A lot of you helped send these kids to camp. A lot of you prayed for these students when we were there. And it's because of you that these kids got to see Jesus in a new and refreshing way. And although we are probably still tired, it was worth it. It was worth it. So I want to jump into it today. Are you guys ready? Okay. I want to jump into it. I'm excited. Man, we are calling today the art of showing up. The art of showing up. I mean, how many of you, you consider yourself an artist or you love art? Raise your hand. Where are my people at? Don't be ashamed. Artists, come on, man. There we go. Okay, good. I love it. I am someone who gets hyper-fixated on things. It is my superpower called ADHD. I love art. And so what happens is probably every week and a half, I find something else I need to create. It'll be like I find the art of cooking, and I think I'm good at cooking, but I'm still trying to figure it out. That next week, I'm like, man, I'm trying to figure out what can I do with clay? Right now, I'm in the middle of trying to figure out how to design a board game. Like, this is what art looks like. It is a spectrum of how you can create things. Art comes in all shapes and sizes. So when we talk about the art of showing up, today I want to focus on what showing up looks like. And for us, there's a lot of different ways of what showing up might look like. A lot of us needing, you even saw in that video, you have this young girl on stage, and she's got her performance, and she gets to the front, and she's nervous. And she starts singing, and the mic kind of cuts out. You got the feedback. But then she sees her mom, and the mom gives her a little nod, like, you got this. And because she showed up, she was like, okay, I could do this. Boom, she starts singing louder. She feels the confidence. How many of you ever felt that before? Someone showed up for you in that moment like that. Yes, I love it. My daughter had that same thing. She's in our preschool, the best preschool in Ventura. Can I get an amen? Hey, shout out to that new director. She had an end of the year performance, and we had the exact same thing. They set these chairs in the front where parents can come up when your kids are up there, and my daughter, Sailor, gets up here, and she's kind of shy, and I can tell when she's shy. And so her mom and I are sitting in the front, and as soon as she sees us, she always does this little excited, like, dress thing. She's like, oh, there you are. And you know what? Honestly, it's because she saw her mom, not me. I'm going to be honest. Like, she saw her mom, she felt comfortable. But because of us, because we were there, we showed up for her, she then had the confidence to then be her best. And I love that about showing up. Man, in youth ministry, we have to show up for our students pretty often. Man, I got to walk with a specific student since he was 11 years old. Every single week, he would show up to youth group. It'd be a side hug, I'd tell him I love him, and he'd hear from the Bible that week. That went on for 6 years, and we have these joyful moments when we get to show up for our students. I got to then transform that into sitting with his family at a graduation, celebrating the joyful moment of him graduating. This is what showing up looks like, but showing up also looks like when he calls me in the middle of the night, crying, scared because of a mistake that he made. That is what showing up looks like. And so here's what I want us to look at today. I had time to go through some ideas and prayed about where the scripture we're going to go through today. And I've got three questions with three answers that I believe that when you leave, you can identify yourself with one of these questions, or maybe all three. But I can guarantee that out of these three questions, you can leave and think about how can I use this week. And if you get to the end and you say, none of those questions are sticking to you, just come back to second service. I promise it'll stick, okay? But we're going to look at three different things, how the art of showing up is so important within our life. So these are the three questions I want to read them out loud. If you're someone who takes notes, this is for you today. Okay, I'm a big note person. I need to doodle and write it down. So if that's you, this will be for you. These are the three questions that I want us to go through today. Where do you want God to show up? Where does God want you to show up? And how do we show up for each other? I'm going to read those again. Where do you want God to show up? Where does God want you to show up? And how do we show up for each other? Those are the three questions we're going to go over today. One thing is this, though. We have a lot of scripture we're going to be reading today. Okay, I apologize. When I knew I was going to speak, I couldn't hold back. I mean, the Bible has a lot of different areas and places where God shows up, or you see the art of showing up. So I hope you brought your Bibles, because we're going to be reading a lot today, okay? Are we okay with that? Reading a lot of scripture? Okay, perfect, perfect. Hey, if you could, normally we stand when you read scripture. I'm going to have you stand as we pray right now. If you can just stand, and then we can sit back down after and get into the Word. But man, I just want to stand and pray together as a church family. Awesome. God, thank you so much for this moment. God, I don't know what it was, but you brought us here this morning. I don't know if it was a routine. God, or we woke up and we said, man, I want to go to church for the first time in a while, and I'm here now in this building. But God, whatever it is, I pray that you show up for us. Holy Spirit, show up right now and teach us, refresh us, transform our lives as we read your word. God, remind us that this is not just another book. This is not just a textbook, but God, this is the truth. That this is God breathed. Father, I pray in this moment as we read a lot of scripture that you can give us the energy and the focus that, God, we can see what it looks like to show up. Pray all these things in your name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right, here we go. I want you to flip open to Luke chapter 17, please. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. We're going to start at verse 11. Just to give you background, where you've got Jesus who's been sharing all these parables with a large crowd. He's then about to travel to Jerusalem. We'll see that in a second. And if you were to continue with that story, this is what leads to what would be Palm Sunday, that would then lead to the crucifixion of Jesus. But this is moments before as his journey is going through Jerusalem. We'll see what happens. This is the first question. Where do we want God to show up? Where do we want God to show up? Luke 17, verse 11. If you're there, say word. It's not a lot of you, but that's okay. Hey, there's a Bible in front of you. If you need a Bible, grab that, and it'll be on the screen if you need to read there, okay? If you're there, say word. There we go. All right. You want to read this together? Verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Verse 14, when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith had made you well." Jesus is traveling through, and these 10 guys in this village are at a distance, keep that in mind, and they yell at him, they say, "God, have pity on us." Another version says, "Have mercy on us." And he says, "Okay, I got you. Go, show yourselves to the priests." They had leprosy. So you can imagine, if you know anything about leprosy, and even in this times, it's scaly wounds all over your body that could cause your fingers to fall off, even your hands, and imagine wart-like bumps on their face. And so what this meant in that time, that they were unclean and separated themselves from those who were clean. So they had to be in their own group. They had to keep a distance from normal culture, normal society. They cannot be connected to those who were clean. So maybe they were cursed. Something went wrong within their family. They are not allowed to be over here. So imagine what that would be like for them. It's probably the place where they hurt the most. It's probably where they're struggling the most, that this is what's bringing them down. And so at a distance, they call to him, and they say, and Jesus says, "Just turn away and go show yourselves to the priest." And they're like, "Oh, okay." But here's what I love, and that I like to imagine this. As they're turning and walking away, you can just imagine all of this leprosy and these scales and all of that going away. It says they were then cleansed to the point where they're like, look, all 10 of them looking at each other going, "What just happened? Jesus just showed up for us." And they all run away. I can imagine they're running back to their families. I can imagine they're going back to the place to say, "Look what just happened. Look what I now get to be a part of, the clean group." But then one turns back and goes back to Jesus and gets close to him now, not at a distance, falls on his knees and says, "Thank you, Jesus." Jesus showed up for them in that moment. Jesus showed up in the place where they hurt the most. So we have that first question. Where do you want God to show up? Here's what I believe that answer is. To show up in the places that hurt the most. To show up in the places that hurt the most. Man, in this story, what hurt them the most was their leprosy. What caused them to be unclean? What caused them to be separated from normal society? They couldn't enjoy things like regular people. They had to be distant from everyone. That's where they hurt the most. But that's where they wanted Jesus to show up the most in. So we answer that question, where do you want God to show up? It needs to be for him to show up in the places that hurt the most. For us, that could look a lot like, man, our finances between me and my wife. Man, that the finances could be bad. That's the place where we're hurting the most because it's affecting my family. It could be in your addictions. You're saying, man, because of my addictions, that's the place where I hurt the most because I can't break these chains that I'm connected to. Man, it might be a certain relationship that you're in. You're saying, this is where I'm hurting the most. I don't know how to separate myself, but I need Jesus to show up in that moment. But I know that we all have things where we need Jesus to show up in our life. It's whenever we hurt the most is the places where we need God to be. I've had plenty of moments where I've been hurting, and I need God to show up. And so my prayers look a lot heavier in those moments. When you say, God, I need you to be in this moment right now with me. God, allow me to trust you with my full faith that when I turn, that these hurts go away. It's like when my daughters, I've got 2 daughters, Sailor and Georgia. Sailor is 4 years old and Georgia's about 20 months. And when they get hurt, if you've ever experienced a kid getting hurt, you know that one of the things that automatically happen is when they get hurt, they start to cry and they look for their mom or dad. And when they do, my daughters run up to us. Of course, we're freaking out. You're just like, wait, what happened? What's going on? They reach their hands up and they immediately want me to pick them up. They want their mom to pick them up because they're hurt. And so what we do is we pick them up and we hold them and we take care of them. There's so many moments for us, church, that when we are hurting, we need that. We need to put our arms up to the Lord and say, God, I need you to hold me because I'm hurt in this moment. God, I need you to hold me in this because I need you to show up. God, I need you to be here. And when they pick you up, all of a sudden the weight is no longer for you to carry. It's the mom or dad that's going to carry the hurt that my daughter is going through. That same thing is when God is holding you, saying, no, I got this. The hurt that you're giving me, I now want to hold you as you just need to reach your arms up and allow me to pick you up. Man, that hurt you, God, we seem to put our arms up to say, God, please take this from me. Show up in this moment. I need you here. And God will pick us right up. Now the weight is not on us anymore, and he's going to carry us as he's lifting, saying, what happened? Where do you want God to show up? To show up in the places where we hurt the most. Number two, y'all ready to flip to another place? Number two, I need you to flip to Jonah chapter 1. We're going Old Testament, okay? Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. You've definitely heard this story before. You probably heard it in the Sunday school. You've heard it in this building. If you haven't, you're going to be surprised. It's a pretty cool story, all right? Maybe it'll ring a bell. Jonah chapter 1. For this question, we are going to be answering, where does God want you to show up? Maybe this question is for you. Man, God shows up for you a lot. You call for God often. Maybe that's a part of your prayer life. You're saying, that first one wasn't really for me. Maybe you're in a place where God is asking for you to show up somewhere. God needs you to be in a certain place or with a specific person. This is what that looks like. But we're going to answer the question, where does God want you to show up? Okay, Jonah chapter 1. If you're there, say a word. Cool. All right. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness had come before me. Verse 3. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. We're going to stop there. Jonah hears from God. God says, I need you to go to Nineveh. I need you to speak to these people because they're wicked. Their wickedness has now become even greater than who I am in this moment. Saying, come before me. He says, I need you, Jonah, to go and preach the good news to them. I need you to talk about who I am to them. And when he talks about them being wicked, that immediately goes to Jonah saying, God, I'm good. I think I know what's best for my life, and Nineveh is not it. What I think is best, instead of going to Nineveh, I'm going to go to Tarshish. I'll see you later. So he walks this way. He gets onto a boat. And if you know how the story continues, he gets onto the boat. The waves are crashing. He's there with other sailors. And all of a sudden, he's going through a huge storm, and they don't know what's going to happen. Every single sailor starts praying to their gods, it says. Jonah realizes that it's actually because of him that this storm is happening. He lets them know that. They start throwing off all their cargo, thinking, man, we got to make this lighter. What are we going to do? Eventually, they decide that they need to throw Jonah over because he is the reason that the storm is there. That's the reason why they might all die, because he is disobeying and not listening to what God is calling him to. They throw him over. A big fish swallows him. And on the inside the belly of the fish, he spends days. He starts praying to the Lord. He starts praying for forgiveness, for a second chance. How many of you ever prayed for a second chance? Amen? Yeah, there we go. God, I'm not alone here. He starts praying for a second chance. What happens is he gets spit up on the land, and then God says this. I want you to go to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. There's that second chance. Go to the great, also, whenever I read for God, I feel like I need to do a deep voice. I'm not going to, okay? But I feel like I need to sound like, you know, Mufasa from Lion King or something. Okay. go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on a sackcloth. Jonah listens to the Lord. He takes the second chance. He says, you know, I'm going to leave Tarshish. I'm going to go to Nineveh, and I'm going to listen to you, God. He's now showing up for where God called him to. And the craziest thing happens. The most wicked city, these wicked people, are now turning to the Lord. Think about that for a second. Like, we would probably think that that's insane. Like, in your head, you're probably thinking of a wicked city that we can probably experience, or a wicked country, or a place that we don't agree with, and saying, no, I need you to go there and show up. I need you to preach who God is to them. And when he does, they all start turning towards the Lord. It's because of that second chance where he showed up for where God wanted him to be that now people are changing and seeing God in a new way. That the whole city wants to now fast and lead into what, instead of being demolished, they say, no, I'm going to bow down to your king and I'm now going to follow him all the way up into their king. So here's my answer for this. So where does God want you to show up? To show up in the places that bring him glory. To show up in the places that bring him glory. That's what Jonah did. Jonah needed to just listen to God. He just needed to be obedient to him and say, no, God, this is your plan. I thought I know what's best for me. I think my plan was better. Clearly it wasn't. You saw what happened. He ended up in the belly of a fish. I've never done that, but that sounds scary. I would be scared at least. He listens to the Lord, and because he listened and he was being obedient, all of a sudden these lives are being changed. So when we talk about where does God want us to show up in the places that bring him glory. Does that mean it's going to be easy? No. Is it guaranteed that it's going to work? Not always. But that's the place where God said, you need to show up in that moment. A lot of us have places we need to show up where God's calling us to. Maybe for some of you, there's a conversation that you need to have with someone that you're scared to have. So you're walking a different direction because you think that you don't need to have that conversation, but God's calling you to have that conversation. Or maybe there's a group of friends that you've been struggling to actually connect with or share the gospel with. I have a group of friends I get nervous to share the gospel with, and that we think that we know what's best, so we walk a different direction, but really that's where God is calling us to, and that's where glory is going to be. That's how we're going to give God glory in that moment, is when we listen to where he's sending us. For some of you, I'm going to be honest, you've been going to this church for a while, and you haven't volunteered in an area that maybe you've been calling to, and you've been going a different direction, saying we're busy, we don't have time, we don't know what to do, I don't know if they're going to like me. Middle schoolers stink. It's true. It is true. Spend 5 days in a cabin with them. Maybe God is calling you to a place like that, where you say, I don't have time to volunteer, but maybe that's where you're going to bring God glory. That is where God is calling you to show up. All right, number three, we ready? We got to flip again. I'm sorry. I know. We're going to go to Ruth, one of my favorite books in the Bible. We're going to flip open to Ruth. This one's a lot. Okay, we got about 17 verses here. Ruth chapter 1. Now, this one's super important. Not like the other ones aren't, but how do we show up for each other? How do we show up for each other? I mean the people in this room, okay? How do we show up for each other? Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. If you're there, say a word. All right. All right. Here we go. So, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. I don't want to, before we move forward, I just want you to sit in that for a second of that pain, okay? Because we can just read it and it just goes over like, okay, they died and 10 years later, the two sons. I want you to think about that for a second of what Naomi is experiencing. That both her husband, the love of her life, and also the two sons that she loved so much have both passed away. So you can just imagine what that might feel like, okay? Verse 6. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to aid for his people by providing food for them, she and her daughter-in-laws prepared to return home from there. With her two daughter-in-laws, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Verse 8. Then Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as you have showed kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand had turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Verse 15. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." 16. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Highlight this part if you're someone who highlights. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried." Man, you can imagine the pain Naomi's going through. Man, she is trying her best to also take care of her two daughter-in-laws by saying, "The best thing for you is for you to leave me. You guys are young, you have a life you could still live. Don't cling to me. Go live a life without me." What she's trying to do, she is hurt. She says even God has turned his hand away from her. She is in a place of hurt and pain, and she's struggling. And she says, "No, you guys just need to leave. It's okay. Go live your life without me." But Ruth says no. It says that Ruth clung to her. It says, "No, wherever you go, I go. Wherever you stay, I stay. Your people will be my people. Where you die, I will also die." And she's saying, "Listen, no matter what you're going to go through, we've gone through good moments together as a family, and now we're going through one of the hardest times in our life. I'm not going to leave your side." I want you to hear that. It's not just the good moments that she's staying with her and showing up. Ruth is saying, even through these really hard moments, I'm going to be by your side. I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to leave you. Where you go, I'm going. I'm going to be right here next to your hip. And when you die, I'm also going to die. So how do we show up for each other? How do we show up for each other? Here's the answer to this. We show up with loyalty and love. Oh, we show up with loyalty and love. That's what Ruth did. She shows up with loyalty and love to her mother-in-law. If you look at the definition of loyal, it says this: giving or showing firm and constant support. Here's what I love about that. When you see what she's doing, is she's showing both loyalty and love in both the good and the hard moments. She's not saying this is way too hard for me, because also you have to realize that Ruth is going through a lot of pain in this moment too. She's also experiencing that her husband died, that her father is also dead. So she says, we're both growing through pain here. Let's figure this out together. I am going to be loyal to you, and I'm going to show love to you. The same that I'm hoping that she would do it back to me. So we say, how should we show up for each other? We show up with loyalty and love. It's easy to come to church on a Sunday and show up and hug the same person and sip the same coffee together and say, how was your weekend? It was good. How was your 4th of July? It was pretty good. We had huge fireworks. That's illegal. That's illegal. That's the easy part for showing up for each other. The hard part, so when someone's in the hospital and they need you to be there with them. When someone says, you know, in your small group that they're really struggling with their family, that you're there for them. That when a passing happens in a family, you're there to cook them a meal. You're there to show up at their doorstep to saying, I've got a shoulder for you to cry on. I've got ears to just sit there and listen without giving you advice. I'm here to show up and lead you closer to the Lord, no matter what circumstance you're in. That's what showing up with loyalty and love look like for each other in this room. At camp, we left on a Monday. And we have a good day. We get to our cabins. And it's super fun, and we noticed that there's a student who is a part of our youth group, but he hasn't really fully connected with a lot of people yet. And so he gets to camp, and it's his first time getting to camp. And if you've ever been to camp, it is a little overwhelming. You're there with about 10 other churches, a couple hundred kids and staff. Everything is kind of crazy. At some point, you then get into a room with the chaplain. It's loud worship. It can be a lot for someone who hasn't really experienced summer camp before. So in that moment, this student who we've been walking with, who we love dearly, we know the struggles that he's been going through a little bit. And in that moment, we realize he's disconnected from the group. It was overwhelming for him. So a youth worker and I sit down with him, and we're just there for him. We were not expecting day one. We thought all the kids were going to be excited, hyped up. It was day one, and this kid wanted to go home. He didn't want to be there. He said, this is way overwhelming. Struggles with anxiety. So you can just imagine what a room like that would be like for a kid who struggles with anxiety. So as we're sitting next to him, and he's tearing up, doesn't know what to do, the youth worker next to me is just there just comforting him. Just saying, hey, do you feel comfortable knowing that we're here with you? You can reach out to us in any moment. God's got something bigger for you this week. This kid's already a believer. So he said, man, the Holy Spirit has something for you this week, and you are here for a reason. So how about we just see how this week goes? If anything happens, we are here for you. Let us pray for you. Pray that the Holy Spirit moves within you, that something will reveal to you this week of what God wants for you. The kid there is just crying, saying, okay. And he begins to trust us as we pray over him, as we show up in those moments for him where he's struggling. Say, no, listen, we got you. Where you go this week, we'll go. What you deal with, we're going to deal with it too. That's part of showing up for these students. One of the coolest moments is the couple days go by. The whole church meets up at the end of the last night. The whole campus, all the students, the leaders meet around a fire pit, and we begin to share what God has showed us. Throughout that week, you got to see him connect with students. You got to see that eventually he felt comfortable enough to raise his hands during worship. If you're someone who does that, you know how powerful that is. You know, to be brave enough around around other teenagers that you don't really know what to do, and you think, I want to do this, he begins to raise his hands in worship. And one of the best parts is at the end of the week, he shares what God has done in his life. Think about that. At the end, this kid wanted to go home day one. He said, I want to go home. He stuck through it. He trusted the people around him and said, no, God's got something bigger for me. I'm going to see what it is, even if I don't believe it in the moment. I'm going to try my best to believe in this and trust the people around me who are showing up for me, that they also believe that God's got something for me. And by Thursday night, in front of the entire camp, he's sharing what God had revealed to him that week. He's learning about what God is showing him. That's what loyalty and love looks like when we show up for each other. Man, how powerful that is. So maybe that's you in this room saying, you know what? I know I ask God to show up. I show up where God calls me to be, but I still don't show up for the people around me. There are people in your lives that you need to be cling to by the hip, that you say, where you go, I go. Where you stay, I stay. That's what loyalty and love looks like for the people around us. So when we ask that question, how do we show up for each other? With loyalty and love. This week, my challenge, I always give challenges or an action to our students. I think preaching the word is good, but I also want to give them a challenge. It's usually on a Wednesday night, midday through the week. They've got the rest of their week going. I give them an action or a challenge. Here's what I would love for you to do for the rest of this week. I give you the same challenge. This goes for you and also for myself. I need us to show up. I need us to show up. I learned this in youth ministry, that we need to show up for our teenagers. The same thing for our church. We need to show up for the people around us. We need to show up for where God is calling us to be, so we can give glory in that moment. It's probably easy for us to ask God to show up in the places we need, where we're hurting. It's probably the other two that are a little more difficult, saying, you know what, God's calling me here. I need to show up there. Or really, there's people around me who I need to show up for. And I want to do that with loyalty and love. I want to end with this. One of my favorite artists, because I'm an artist, where are the artists at? Don't be ashamed. There we go. One of my favorite artists, his name is Brad Montague. He wrote a couple of my favorite books. A while ago, he created a thing called Kid President. If you've ever seen those videos before, they're amazing. You should look those up. But he had this this art piece in this post that you could throw it on the slide here. But it says to fly and to help others fly. To fly and to help others fly. And he wrote a poem, really short. It says this: to fly and to help each other fly, it's wild, but it's true. To fly and help each other fly, it's what we're here to do. I love this. You can see this kid who's holding on to these balloons. When you were a kid, I mean, I don't think it's true now, but if you're a kid, when you hold on to them, at one point you thought you were going to float, right? Like, do you know how cool that would be? Like, enough balloons that you're like, oh. Here's what I picture. When we show up for people, imagine every time you show up to someone, you give them a balloon. No matter what it is, you show up and you keep giving them a balloon. That eventually you show up enough for them that they begin to fly. And imagine that, what that feeling is when you begin to fly. Like, oh, I feel weightless. This is so cool. I'm looking down. We get to help each other fly. Man, some of us need to show up in other people's lives. Some of us have been scared to ask God to show up in the places that hurt us the most. Some of us are being called by God to give him glory in a place that we're scared to go. But showing up matters. Showing up matters. So I encourage you, my action, my challenge for you is to show up this week. I don't know if it was the first, the second, or the third question for you today. Or maybe like me, it's all the questions. That when you leave, you feel challenged knowing that I have an answer to these questions I've been holding on to, that I now have an action I'm going to take forward. I want to show up enough for people around me that I'm going to help them fly. Let me pray. God, you are an all-powerful God, the omnipotent God. So, Father, we ask right now that you show us where we need to show up. God, for the people in the room who are hurting, Father, I pray that their prayers are asking you to show up in those moments. Because God, maybe we feel distant in those moments. God, I pray for those who are being called to a place to give you glory, but God, we're scared to jump in that space. God, that we struggle because we think we know what's best and we want to turn the opposite direction. But God, I pray that you give us strength that we can be obedient to you, to listen to where you're calling us. That's going to ultimately give you glory. And God, I pray that we show up for each other. God, this family, that we can show up for each other, that we say, where you go, I go. And that, God, we can do it with loyalty and love. Allow us to show up for the people around us so much that they begin to fly. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for showing up for us, for being the Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides everything we need, Lord. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.